Welcome to Lipstick Fitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good-ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hey, biddies. Oh my gosh. Long time no talk. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Season 3 of Lipstick Biddies is finally here. And y'all, it's been so surreal. I've been spending so much time traveling, meeting you guys in person, doing interviews in person, like the one that you're going to hear today. We're in full swing here. And I'm just so excited to finally be back in regular production and having you guys listen to me every week. Thank you again for sticking with me, for tuning in, for your support every week. As a reminder, the best way to support me, of course, is always, 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 please talk about the podcast with your friends. Take a screenshot and share it to your stories. Tag me, tag our guest, and yeah, like write a review, all of the good things. Those are the things that are really, 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 really so crucial to making this community really thrive. And another way that I'm adding to the community, which is a very special announcement today, I'm going to be posting in the show notes the link to the Lipstick Bitties Discord. Yay! So if you are not on Discord, you need to get on it ASAP. Discord is basically a private server where you can have a community and inspired chats and connect with biddies from around the world. We already have a group of people in there that had special access to it. Shout out to my patrons. Shout out to my Facebook group. The Facebook group is actually shutting down. Your girl is never on Facebook. So I just literally like y'all, it was like the bane of my existence. And I'm actually deleting my Facebook account. It's just not for me. And Discord is a lot more fun, a lot more organized. I was able to basically take every question that you all send in my inbox, basically an FAQ, and set up different chat rooms in order to spark the conversation. So all you need to do, because let me tell you, biddies, it is not going to be open for long. It's not going to be free for long. This is going to be something that's going to be included in my patron perks. However, to celebrate the start of season 3, I wanted to make it free and accessible to all of you loyal listeners who have supported me over the past coming up on 2 years. So it is free for now. So you need to get into it now before that closes out. I'm going to have it open until the end of the year for free enrollments. All you need to do, like literally go to the show notes. It's going to have a link and you just download the Discord app. You can also download the Discord app for your desktop. I actually do like how it looks on a desktop a little bit better, but it's really cool. So this is the best way that you guys are going to be able to interact with each other, because you all are always asking me, hey, Rachel, I'm looking for an assistant in Chicago. I am trying to do this. This is like the best way for you guys to do that. You know, kit splitting. We have conversation about products. We even have people organizing a Lipstick Bitties meetup. Not official Lipstick Bitties meetup, but I would say like an unofficial meetup for this weekend for the coming makeup show. So like if you want to be included on all these things and not be left out and get all this FOMO, you got to join the Discord now. So please, please, please join. I cannot wait to get to know you a little bit more and also learn the platform a little bit more, because it's also new to me, but it's really fun. I really like it so far, and it's been a great way to connect with you guys more personally. So that's the big announcement for season 3. As I mentioned, my patrons got special access to this. That is the best way to support your girl in a monetary way. Patreon.com/lipstickbitties. By joining the Patreon, you get bonus episodes, monthly meetups. We just had our monthly meetup for the month of September. We have it tonight, so I cannot wait to jump on that and touch base with my patrons. And with the Patreon, you also get a shout out, which I haven't done in a while because I haven't been on here. So welcome to the newest patrons: Ashley Noel MUA, Jen Lawhan Skincare, Melissa Colazzo _ makeup, Erica Douglas _ artistry, and Rachel. I appreciate you all so much for signing up for the Patreon, and all of you who are subscribers already, thank you so much for joining. So let's get into the episode. Today's guest is someone who I met online, and actually we have so many mutuals, so it was like very surprising that we haven't met in person before. Her name is Donna D'Elia. You can find her on Instagram and TikTok at donna.d'elia. She also has a Facebook group called Makeup Magic Tips and Tricks. I'm going to put all this information in the show notes. Donna is incredible. Not only is she super, super kind and warm and funny and bubbly, she is so inspiring with her work ethic. She really knows her shit when it comes to marketing yourself on social media. She kind of like blew up on TikTok overnight because she really invested in herself with coaches and ways to market her online makeup classes. So our focus for this episode, first of all, Halloween is coming up. So this is the unofficial Halloween episode. We're talking about haunted houses. She's organized teams for different haunts, so how you can get involved with that if you're interested in doing haunted house makeup or special effects. Content marketing through social media, which is basically utilizing your TikTok, utilizing your Instagram to sell things for yourself, whether it be courses, whether it be, you know, your freelance business, the way that she kind of marketed herself through TikTok and made it to like 35,000 followers at this point. She's fucking killing it. Online course building, like what goes into her online courses, and then her passion for being an educator. She has worked for Makeup Forever. She talks about the mentors and the community that's helped her along the way. And we always talk about this, I feel like in every episode, how important your community and mentorship is. So the importance of making those good relationships as you go along in your journey and asking for help and really like finding people that you vibe with. Just as a reminder, she actually talks about in this episode, she just launched her Halloween course. So you can find the link to sign up for her Halloween course in the show notes. Everybody should check it out. It is open until October 14th. So if you're listening to it between now and October 14th, you can enroll. And it also includes being a part of her Facebook group with other people who have taken the course. If you'd like to sign up through the link in the show notes, it's just donnadalia.com/spookandsparklebiddies. So that way you can support your girl. It is an affiliate link that says basically you were referred by me, and it's a great way to pay it forward. If you love this episode and you'd like to support the Lipstick Biddies community by using my affiliate link, highly recommend it. I'm going to be taking the course. I cannot wait to take the course. So stay tuned for that. Make sure to connect with Donna on all your platforms and let us know what you think about this episode. I love you guys. I will check back with you at the end of the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. This is your host, Rachel, here, of course, the head biddy in charge, your hostess with the mostest. Season 3 is here. And as you may know, I'm in LA right now. And I've been going around like a little like, I don't even know what to call it, like nomad, like traveling from place to place, hauling my recording equipment around and connecting with some people that I've been able to connect with over the past, I don't know, like couple years since this podcast started, and someone who was able to connect with while I was out here. I'm sitting with here in the flesh today, Donna D'Elia. How are you, Donna?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for thanks for having me because I'm in your home because I don't have a recording studio.
It feels the same though. This is an honor to be here. I love Lipstick Biddies. I've actually been following you for, I mean, you said, how long have you had this company?
Okay, so Lipstick Biddies is, well, I am not sure when this is going to air, but it's going to turn 2 in October, and that would be like 2 years of the podcast, and honestly, the Instagram started when the podcast did, so.
I have to be following you at least a year.
That's so funny.
I mean, Lipstick Biddies is so cute. Aww. And then when I was like, business podcast.
Well, it's so funny, too, because it's like, I, you know, we always like forget like how small the makeup world is, mm-hmm. and how many people know each other. And like, I
saw you on TikTok come across my For You page like a few times, and then I followed you on TikTok and I was like, oh, she's so fucking cool. Oh yeah, like, because like, you're so articulate and like your content itself is like beautifully made, and you're a pro makeup artist, so like, you know, I'm like, yes, every time I see like a pro makeup artist making content, it makes me excited because I'm like, finally someone that knows what they're talking about. So it was so funny because then I think that you either DM me on Instagram, like you were already following me on Instagram, and I was almost like, honestly, a little starstruck. I was like,
shut up.
I'm not even kidding.
That's how
you.
I felt when you started following me on TikTok. Oh, this is lovely.
So yeah, so like it was like very much like, oh my gosh, she follows me on Instagram. Oh, why did she follow me on Instagram?
I think we're both blushing. We are.
You'll see like the YouTube clip. I'll have to like us like hyping each other up. Yeah, but it's just so funny because it's like I post very different content on my Instagram than I do my TikTok, and like obviously my podcast is like throughout, but the Instagram, a lot of pro makeup artists resonate with. So I've had a lot of pro makeup artists that I really love and respect, and people that are very well known in this industry connect with me there. And it's like every time it's wild when you get like someone that you like really like admire their work. And TikTok brought me to you. And so it was just like almost like, I don't know, every stars aligned.
I get it. I love that. You know, I was so anti-TikTok. And then when we started going and creating content on it, and I was seeing people that I like and other pro makeup artists too, I was like, oh, okay, let's try it out. And now I love TikTok. It's probably definitely one of my more favorite platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I spend more time there than anywhere else. And I know we were talking earlier, I don't scroll so much. But if I do scroll, it's either on TikTok or YouTube Shorts.
What do you like so much about TikTok compared to other platforms?
I think I like the rawness so much. Like mm-hmm. on Instagram, everyone was for so many years was so concerned about their feed looking, you know, all nice and pretty.
Right.
And they wouldn't just put out content to put out content. They had to make it pristine and perfect. And on TikTok, people don't give a shit. They're just like, we can curse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fuck yeah. Please.
Well, I curse in real life, but I usually don't curse much on my own content.
You know why? Because we're doing things a little differently with Donna, because like a lot of times I'm doing these on Zoom. So I usually, because I'm very type A, I send like whole informational sheet, which I feel like I should have sent you beforehand just because I feel like you would have appreciated it because you seem like a very organized person. But it says like being like, swearing is A-okay. Ask me anything. If I say something that you want to follow up with your own questions, like please roast me. Put me on the spot. I love it. No, like I love it when people start like interviewing me. Please take over.
Got it. Noted. Okay, cool. So anyways. I don't have to worry about the filter too much.
No.
Because the New Yorker in me will just, we have potty mouth. But nonetheless, on TikTok, people don't give a shit. They just will, they reply back to comments and they talk easily. They also seem to be more engaging in their comments. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's easier to connect almost. Mm-hmm. People are more loosely with following, and then when they follow you back, like you can just have these conversations. And I feel like on Instagram, it's very much like, oh, we're not going to follow people because our followers have to be higher than the amount of people we're following. Mm-hmm. And on TikTok, people just don't seem to care as much about how they look. It's not about like everything looking, having a nice aesthetic. It's just creating content and having fun, really.
Yeah, it's about what you're saying. And also, a lot of people use TikTok as a means of entertainment, even YouTube, you know, like you're consuming it as a means of entertainment, less so on Instagram where you're like looking like who's following me back, like that kind of thing. Because people aren't using Instagram the same way as they are TikTok or YouTube.
Well, and actually, if we think about who TikTok is competing with, TikTok is going after YouTube and Instagram is going after TikTok. Like Instagram's trying to be TikTok, where TikTok is like, I don't care what you're doing, Instagram, we're just trying to be like YouTube. Like now we're showing, like even if you Google
10-minute
TikToks
videos.
Come up, Instagram doesn't come up. Like you, Instagram is not Googleable, but TikTok is Googleable.
Oh,
and YouTube is Googleable. Googleable. This is a word we're making
You googly.
But like that was the whole thing with why YouTube was such a platform for people to go on, because if you were to Google something, YouTube videos were going to come up, but your Instagram was never going to come up. So Instagram sucked for SEO.
Yeah.
But when you go to TikTok, TikTok is all about the SEO. And right now what the platform is doing is even making it more SEO centric with keywords and everything.
I didn't even know that, actually.
Oh, God, we could talk about this stuff all
day. Okay, wait, so before we get too deep into our, like, banter, I want to just back up for a second because I know everybody that we have on here, you know, sometimes people are meeting you for the very first time. So would you be able to introduce yourself to the listeners, the biddies, just a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Donna D'Elia. I'm originally from New York. I lived there for most of my life, and then I moved to LA in 2015. Makeup Forever actually moved me across country. Most of my time in New York as a makeup artist, I worked retail. I worked for MAC for a lot of years. I worked for Sephora before that. I worked at Sephora in like 2005. Such a different world than where it is now. But then I worked for MAC, and then I worked for Makeup Forever, and Makeup Forever moved me here. But even while I was doing retail, every day that I had off, I was working on trying to get on set somehow, doing a photo shoot. When I worked at MAC, I worked across the street from ABC and around the corner from Lincoln Center. So a lot of the makeup artists who worked on like All My Children and the soap operas, they would shop in our store. And one of them I hit it off with really well. And whenever she had jobs that were non-union, she would pass them on to me. So like one of the first things I ever did was an Indian soap opera with the entire crew being from India. Wow. And like the only people that spoke English were the two actors that I was in charge of. So it was very... It was just such a surreal thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I can say this now because I don't work there anymore, but I used to save my sick days to call out from work to do production gigs. Like I did a JCPenney commercial and I had one day off, but it was a 2-day shoot. And I was like, I can't turn this down. It was going to be like broadcasted in 34th Street.
Yeah.
And so I just called out. And I'm sorry if any of my managers are listening. I made up for it. I made up for my call outs. I would try not to screw people over, but... I always wanted to be a freelancer. I was just afraid to take the leap. And then when I moved out here and our Makeup Forever store closed, I used to work at the one on Robertson. When it shut down, I was like, Makeup Forever's like, are you going to go freelance? Do you want us to look for a position? What do you want? And I was like, let's freelance. Like, that's why I wanted to move to LA. I wanted to work in film and TV. I love horror movies. I'm a big nerd. I like everything magic related. And so I wanted to work on horror films and do special effects. And so I started doing a little bit of that, trying to work my way into the union and work on as many gigs as possible. And I actually, even though I did some of that, I ended up doing a lot of live events for production companies where it was body painting. And then it would be at a party and we would body paint the servers, or we would body paint, you know, aerialists that are hanging from chandeliers,
That's
pouring
awesome.
Champagne into people's drinks. It's incredible. And they pay well, and it's a lot of fun. So there's, you know, twofold. As a freelancer, you know, sometimes you have really crappy rates, and then you get the rates you want and the jobs you want. And that's where live events were. And I started working haunts. We're in California. Do you know the Queen Mary?
No.
So the Queen Mary is a big ship. It's a Titanic sister, and it's docked in Long Beach.
Okay.
And they have a haunt called Dark Harbor.
Oh, hell no.
And oh, my God. And the
no. Hell no.
Oh, I can tell. I'll go in on it. So Queen Mary is haunted. And
I know. That's why I'm like, oh, fuck no. We're not going on a ghost ship.
Oh, my God. It is a ghost ship. So
no.
My first year in 2016, I had always wanted to work haunts. Even in New York, there was like this haunted manor that was in like Midtown.
Yeah, Blood Manor.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. And I wanted to work it, but I was like, I can't be off. Like, I have to be there at 6 o'clock every day. Like, my managers are never going to give me that schedule around Halloween, especially at Makeup Forever, because we had blackout periods around Halloween because our Halloween was so busy. Because in our stores, we carried all of the special effects and body painting products that Makeup Forever makes that a lot of people didn't know about, but our store would have. So we would be booked solid with doing like body paints, old age makeup on people. It was awesome. So
I worked at Abracadabra.
Oh, did you
one
really?
Season. Yeah,
oh,
I did.
I used to shop there.
Yeah.
Wonder if we ever saw each other.
Yeah.
So when 2016, as a freelancer, I saw an opening for Queen Mary and I was like, yes, I do want to do that. And then when I started working there, it turns out that a lot of the mazes are based off of the ghosts that are haunted, that are real. They're real stories of people that have died, real haunting stories, and those were the mazes. And it was, honestly, if you ask me what my favorite job is of all time, it's working haunts. I love it, especially if you like Halloween, everyone is giddy about it being Halloween. And then when we were working on the Queen Mary, because it was haunted, we used to scare the shit out of each other. Like, I remember I went, like, walking through one, because we would be doing makeup on the ship in, like, the deep, deep deep parts of the ship. And we would go exploring. And one of our department heads literally stood outside waiting for us so he could scare us. And just, you know, we had good times.
Oh my gosh. See, I get like so, because I believe in ghosts and shit like that. And like, you know, I've had my own experiences. So like when I know that things are haunted, I'm like, oh, fuck no. Like, oh. I don't care if it's like some cheesy haunted house, that's fine. But like something that's actually haunted, like.
Oh, that's the best part. It's so, because then when you go through the maze and you know what's happening, like, it feels creepy. Like, my boyfriend's not into superstition stuff, and he's not really into the ghost thing. He's not sure what he believes there, but we went to the Queen Mary, and there is the propeller room. And a story is, during World War III, Queen Mary became a cargo ship going back and forth across the Pacific. And the ship is really massive. It's Titanic's sister, so it's big. And there was a little baby ship that didn't get out of the way in time, and it sucked up people in the propellers. And when you go through that room,
I'm horrified right now.
Yeah, your hair will stay, like, hair on your arms will stand up. Anyone that's gone through it is always like, that's the creepiest part, because it is creepy. And on that note.
I'm just like, hell no. It makes me think of like that show. Do you remember MTV's Fear?
Yes.
Where they would like drop people into like a haunted house and like give them like.
I wonder if they ever did Queen Mary.
They would give them glow in the dark cameras, but then they'd be like, oh, this, we're sending you, like they were like in a factory and they're like, we're sending you to this room where like this person like accidentally fell into the utility shredder machine. Oh, and like, we want you to stick your hand in the machine for like a full 10 minutes and.
Oh no. Oh,
and
no.
Turn off your lights. And I was like, what?
We had to stay on the ship. So we would do media for the haunts. And so media would be usually with the newscast at 6 in the morning for the morning shows. Mm-hmm. So they would have us stay overnight so we can, our call time would be at like 3:30 in the morning. So we would stay overnight to be ready for media. And we were not in the most luxury rooms of the Queen Mary. Queen Mary is also a hotel.
Okay.
So we would not be in the nice rooms. We would be in the rooms that like clearly have not been renovated since, 1920.
Yeah.
And there's no windows. And we were rooming, me and another girl, and we shut the lights off and it was pitch black. We're like, we're gonna have to sleep with the lights on. We can't see anything. Cause then you start hearing shit, stuff is like touching you.
Creaking.
It was like, okay, so we slept with the lights on.
My gosh.
For the hour that we had until we had to go to work.
So actually, Biddies, this is our Halloween episode.
Ghost story.
We're recording this in August, but this is going to be aired in October.
It's Halloween already. We're there.
I know, right? Halloween's always been my favorite holiday, and honestly, that's kind of what got me into makeup myself.
Really?
Like, yeah, because like character makeup. So like, I remember doing the 31 days of Halloween on Instagram, and I was doing a bunch of character makeups, and that's kind of like what sparked my interest in it. And then ended up freelancing for like a studio, and then ended up getting like a job at Abracadabra. Like literally, Abracadabra, like no joke, they had like real makeup artists there, like doing real mm-hmm. special effects. And
I would book appointments for Halloween there too.
Like full body, mm-hmm. like, and I was there with my like Mehron Paradise palette, not knowing how to work sanitize and stuff like that. And I'm like putting liquid latex on people's skin and toilet paper and shit. And I'm
like, hey.
They
loved it.
They paid really well there, actually.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know that.
They paid really well.
I mean, we would go shopping there and I knew that they were real makeup artists, pro makeup artists that work there that were tenured, but I didn't realize that they would also pay well. That's good for retail.
Yeah, no, they actually paid really well. And I got, like, I feel like people try to work there, like, they want to work there.
It was appealing.
Yeah, and like, I got, this is the whole thing. It's like, fake it till you make it in this industry, like, always. But a lot of people, like, I don't want to condone faking until you make it, because then you end up doing stupid shit and sometimes you'll get caught or fuck up someone else's bag.
Well, what about if it's I bumped the microphone. And
Donna's like giving a lot of love to my microphone.
I don't know how to work these things.
You just
hold it further away.
Yeah.
There's this podcast that I listened to, and it was a different take on fake it till you make it, and he would say be it until you are it. So instead of faking it, like, don't think of that faking it. Be like, you are it. You're taking it on. Like, so if you are saying, hey, I'm a character makeup artist and these are the things that I do, you're doing it.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as faking it, because if you're doing it, you're there. Maybe you don't have the level or wherever you want to be at, but to someone else, they don't know that.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way of looking at it.
Be it until you are it.
That's a good way of looking at it. Well, talking about business, let's get into like some business chat, because we were talking earlier. So usually I do like a pre-interview with people. Donna was so nice to make like a cheese board for me and like some wine out of some like spooky wine glasses. Which, if you're watching this clip,
cheers!
Happy Halloween!
Yes.
One of the things that I really found cool about your TikTok is you're utilizing that as a way to drive business to alternative streams of revenue, because I know that you mentioned that you're still a working makeup artist, but now you have all these online courses. So what was, like, I'm trying to back up. Okay. It's like when we were having this conversation, you were saying when you started TikTok, it wasn't to sell. But
no, but it was for content marketing.
Right.
So I use social media for content marketing. The reason on it at the end of the day is that I want to sell my courses. And social media is free advertisement. It's not really free because you have to put in work, but ultimately you don't have to pay for those ads. And with TikTok, the whole idea was that TikTok has insane organic reach. And so I didn't want to go on the platform without no one knowing me and just being like, here, buy my shit, because who are you? Why should you buy from me? So it was really my goal when I first started TikTok. I was kicking and screaming doing it. I didn't want to do it. I was like, I'm too old for TikTok. And then all the coaches were like, no, you're not. Like, you're leaving money on the table. Makeup is killing it. And there are people that are older. And they are right.
Yes.
So if you are listening to this and thinking TikTok is not for you, TikTok is definitely for you. They even said that 50% of the people on it are over 30 now. And now that, because I focus a lot on older people, I have so many students that are older. And they, even the people that are not necessarily students yet, they are 30, 35, 40, and it's eye-opening. And even when I start looking for people, so I follow a lot of business coaches on TikTok, other people will come into my feed that are also older. I think TikTok's algorithm is smart. So if you search for things that you want to see, immediately the algorithm is going to give you what you want. And I don't see anybody dancing. I don't see any of the nonsense. My boyfriend will scroll on TikTok. It looks completely different. I'm like, I see none of this. Like, you're seeing all the stuff people are talking about, but I see business. I see TikTok coaches and, you know, other makeup people. but I did, because of the organic reach, I was like, well, I don't have money for ads and I don't, you know, I'm not ready to budget for it yet, so let's try TikTok. And in the beginning, it was like, let me give out a shit ton of value, let people see that I do know what I'm talking about. Even though you haven't seen me before, it doesn't mean that I can't give you great advice or that I can't help you out. So for the first... Let's see, we started March 18th. We didn't start selling until May.
Gotcha. So you're really new on TikTok.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. I started March
18th. So, like, you, like, blew up overnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I still, like, honestly, people will be like, oh, my God, I have 36,000 followers. And they'll be like, that's so many. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not – I don't want to say that it's not a lot, because it is a lot. And I am grateful for that many people. It's pretty mind-boggling to think that so many people opted in to follow what I have to say.
Yeah.
But because of the viewership, it's not always the 35,000 people that are seeing it. And I think people think like, oh, you have that many followers, you're getting sales left and right. And it's not that either. It's very hard to sell to somebody. So anyone who has a business, whether you're selling products, selling courses, or even selling services, it's a hustle. It is hard. It is not something that's going to be easy. Because even with those, you know, 35,000 students, they're not all buying from me immediately. It takes... a lot to convince someone to buy you. And I took a marketing class and they say it takes 8 touches for someone to make a purchase. And even I have a TikTok coach. I took a TikTok course and now she's my coach. And she also is now one of my students. She bought one of my things. If you're listening to this, Wave, I love you. Everyone follow Wave Wild. She's a good person for learning TikTok.
What's her Instagram?
Wave Wild.
Okay.
W-Y-L-D. But she knows a lot about TikTok and that's why I started following her. And I took a course on how to grow on TikTok. And when she started following back, I had that also like, you know, fangirl moment. I was like, oh my God, she's following me. but she messaged me. She's like, don't be afraid to sell more. And I was like, I don't sell enough. She's like, you don't sell enough. And I was like, okay, that's something that I have to learn a little bit more, because people think that because you have a large following, it automatically translates to sales.
Right.
And it does not. It does not. Because you're asking people to give you money. And my course is, you know, it's not a $15 lipstick. You know, I have stuff that's $100, $200, $500. So it's like, that's a lot of money for people to do as an impulse buy. You can impulse lipstick. You can impulse a glittery eyeshadow. You're not really going to impulse a $100 course, especially if you don't understand the value that a paid course can give you versus free content that you can watch on TikTok and on YouTube.
Right.
You know, if you're learning tips and tricks from so-and-so on TikTok, why do you need me? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's a, you know, thing to say. But yeah, it takes 8 points for someone to make a purchase.
Yeah.
And there are students that I've had have been on my email list for almost a year, and only recently did they enroll in one of my courses.
Right.
You know? So it's I think there's a big part of nurturing. And I think even with makeup, you know, when you're doing makeup on your clients, it's very connecting. You're in their face. You're touching them. It is a very deep level of connection. And when it comes to having an online business, I'm talkative. I don't want to just send you something and that's it. I want to build that relationship with you. I want to nurture you. I want to mentor you. I'm here to be your mentor, whether you're a consumer or you're mm-hmm. want to be a pro. And so with the TikTok and even putting out content now, I make sure that I have content that's specifically designed for nurturing. Like, I'm not going to sell you. I might still ask you to do something, whether it's follow me or leave a comment or talk to me, but I'm not always going to sell you because it's not just about that. I want the community.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is, and I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my Patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
Because you have a Facebook group for your makeup. Is it just for your students or is it open to everybody?
It's an open to everyone Facebook group. I started it during the pandemic because I was doing free classes during the pandemic. Like every week on Zoom, I used that to grow my email list. I would just do free classes on different topics. And that was before we had already filmed our course. Our first course we filmed, we finished on March 4th and we shut down in California March 13th. It was so serendipitous, perfect timing. And then we spent the first part of the pandemic filming all of my lectures and my content. Because we always try to hire models to – I mean, I can do makeup on other people. So I try to have the models there to showcase that and also to be as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one person. I'm one age. I'm one skin tone, one skin type. So it's always important for me to have that representation. And I was so grateful that we had shot all of our models. We had like 10 models that we had shot. And then we filmed all of our content and then we had to edit all of it. And it's a massive course, our first one that we came out with. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, I was like, well, I have to build an audience. Like, let's start doing things. And a company actually hired me during the pandemic to teach online classes. I think in June they hired me. And they were like, it's only an hour. We're going to do run ads and all that stuff. You just have to show up and teach the topic. And I was like, sounds great. And then they didn't see a return. So they tried to, they were doing the classes for free, but they were running ads. And then they tried to have the classes be paid and they didn't sell enough tickets. So they were like, this isn't working. We have to figure it all out. But I was bummed. And we would have like 50 students per Zoom class. And a lot of them started following me. So my boyfriend was like, well, we're going to come out with our own school and our own course. Why don't you just teach them on your own? Just promote it on Instagram and see what happens. And I was like, all right, let's do that. So I did that, and that they all were like, you should have a Facebook group. So I made a Facebook group.
I love that. But it's like it's nice because you're also offering like community, kind of like similar to like what I'm doing. And like, you know, Biddies, we have the like, Patreon is like a way that you could support and connect. But it's interesting you say the thing about like, you know, you have to sell. I always like felt weird about like, quote, selling something.
It's awkward.
Right. It's something, and especially like something like, you know, community, and I want to keep things accessible. But I realized that like a lot of people actually were like DMing me, being like, you know, I remember you mentioning the Patreon. I still don't know what it is. And I'm like, I'm not talking about it enough, like in a way that like people are like absorbing it. And that's why, Biddies, now you hear like a Patreon ad every single episode.
No, but that's important.
But like, I didn't even think to do that.
And you know, people who like you and already support you, I was worried that if I was promoting too much or I was pitching or selling, that people were going to get aggravated and that they were going to, I was going to annoy them and rub them the wrong way. And, you know, we all want to be liked, right? We all, you know. And I didn't want that to happen. So I actually, in one of those classes, I was like, is it going to annoy you guys if you follow me on all platforms and it's all the same content and you always see me promoting? And they're like, no, we're here to support you.
Yeah.
Like, I need more of you in my life. And I was like, shut. Like, you know, it's we don't see it that way. But, you know, your community does. It's like your best friend and the people that you hang out with. You can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
You want to see them more. So I think it's just harder for us to see that for ourselves. So it's always good to have that reminder.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. And, like, we were talking about – so we were talking about how you felt like you've always, like, been meant to – like, felt like you were meant to be an educator. Mm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what was your first experience, like, educating that you were like, this is, like, where I'm, like, meant to shine?
So when I was at MAC, I was – if anyone is familiar with MAC, I was a third key for a lot of years. I was acting assistant manager sometimes and – in those roles, I would hire freelancers and I'd have to do training with them when they were new. And I always liked to hire people that wanted to become makeup artists and wanted to work for MAC. Mm-hmm. And they might not know as much and they'd be very green, but they were hungry. And it would be very enjoyable to see their reactions and see them get excited. And I started pushing MAC to let me train. And so they had me teach basic trainings. They had me teach update. I would run staff meetings. And it just came so natural to me because I naturally want to nurture and take care of people. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of help starting my career. People, you know, not handed me things, but they helped me. They would give me work and pass things on. And then when I got hired at Makeup Forever as a trainer and I got trained to teach and I could really develop our artists and help them get promoted, mm-hmm. there's nothing more rewarding. Like I feel so fulfilled. I get excited knowing that I was able to help other people shine. And even when I worked at Makeup Forever, we would hire people that we worked with at MAC that wanted to come to Makeup Forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I love being able to give people opportunities.
Yeah.
Even now as a freelance makeup artist, I love when I can build teams that I can be like, hey, I got you a good rate on this job. You want to work with it? Work with me on it. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And so I would say Makeup Forever, I really fell in love with being an educator because it was my job. I got to train a lot. And because I had the development, it helped me be confident. Mm-hmm. You know, our trainers at Makeup Forever were, you know, they were beautiful. They were so nurturing. They didn't make me feel like I was new or didn't know things. Like, do you know who Jesse Powers is?
Yes.
So Jesse Powers was one of the first trainers that trained with me. We spent 2 days together and she treated me like I was just as good as her. And I was not. She was showing me all these techniques. And I'm like, ma'am, I learned more from you in 2 days than I learned at 6 years at MAC. And she's like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, no, seriously. But she talked to me like I was an equal. And even like when Lijah would come in and train with us and I would ask her for feedback, she's like, just these things? She's like, I feel like you want to hear bad stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. I just – tell me more. And she's like, you're fine. And I'm like, but you're so much better. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, tell me. And it was just, I guess, being treated like an equal, even though I didn't feel like I was an equal, but they didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. There was no condescending. There was no talking down. There was never, you can't do this. It was always like, oh, you can do this. Try. Like, even I remember Makeup Forever does a lot of body painting and a lot of people in that role. We would body paint for the events that Makeup Forever would do. And I remember talking to one of the girls who had the same position as me, and I was like, I am so intimidated having this job because I don't know how to body paint. And she's like, well, Donna, I've been in this role for 2 years. She's like, come back to me in 2 years. And 2 years went by, and she got promoted to a pretty big role in the company. Uh-huh. And I remember going up to her, and I was like, you might not remember this, but I remember this because – I always was like, compare myself to myself mm-hmm. and let's see where I'm in 2 years. And at that point, like, I had gone to Paris with Makeup Forever to study body painting. And I was body painting. They sent me to Montreal to do it. And I get goosebumps thinking about it now mm-hmm. because it was, I remember how inadequate. Thank you. Inadequate I felt.
You're like me, I talk so fast.
And then I tongue twist. But it was just like, okay, yeah, in those 2 years, like, I wasn't at her level. I'm still not at her level. But I could do similar jobs. And I think we have to remember that, like, there is our own path and grow it. And I know that I wanted to be that for other people. I want to mentor. I want to help. I think that anything is possible. I'm a very firm believer about that. Even when shit really sucks and the stuff is down. And as a freelancer, I'm sure everyone listening can relate. Like, you have dark moments and you want to give up and you want to go back. Even now, I will look at jobs and be like, what makeup companies are hiring for educators or brand reps that I can go to, and I'm just gonna give this all up. But I know that I can't do what I'm doing now and work full time for someone else.
Right.
And at the end of the day, when I get messages from students telling me how they feel and how easy it made for them and how they've never had someone be able to explain it to them where they can actually do it, like, it's those little things that make all the difference.
Right.
And even though we don't necessarily have a lot of pro classes right now, though at the time people are listening, I will have a pro class. I still get pros messaging me that are newer pros. And I will sit there and give them all of the advice and all the information. And they're like, I think I should be paying you for this. And I'm like, one day you might.
Yeah.
I was like, but right now, like, I genuinely love seeing people succeed.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, I can even say it's selfish because I like seeing people succeed because it makes me feel good. You know, that is a selfish thing, but it's like a two-way street.
Yeah.
You get help, I feel good.
Well, that's why – but that's like even why this podcast even exists, because I felt like there wasn't enough like free education geared towards pros. You know, granted, this isn't just like a pro podcast, but, you know, there's always more room for like accessible education. There never can be enough beauty podcasts, you know what I mean? And I knew that like – I was called to do something like that. It's refreshing to hear your experience coming up because I feel like not many people have that experience. And that's another reason why like I have this podcast and community, because I didn't have that experience. I was like helped a lot as well. And it doesn't have to be the way, the old way. Like I feel like a lot of people were brought up in a, like, you got to prove yourself. And, yes, like, absolutely. We're not going to tell you anything. We're not going to tell you shit.
No, they were secretive.
And, like, gatekeeping and, like, just not generous with advice or, like, you know, there's obviously a line. You don't want to, like, give too much of yourself to someone that's, like, take, right?
Right, of course.
But, like, it's just refreshing to know that, like, there are people that are like you in this industry that are trying to cultivate talent, that are generous. And that's why it's like you have to really look for those people. If you're getting treated like shit by like people above you, like move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to, it doesn't need to be that way.
No, and not everyone's like that either.
No.
We remember the bad moments.
Yeah.
Because that's what hurts and sometimes sticks. I would even say like before COVID, I would try to have a social media present, but I was never consistent with it. And I was always afraid because in LA, and maybe this is everywhere, but there was this negative energy around creating content on social media and being an influencer. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of pros would look down on you if they went to your social media and it was your face and your selfies.
Yes.
It was like, oh, you're not a pro.
I think that was like nationwide.
Okay.
That's definitely like everywhere.
And I don't think it's as much of a thing now.
No, because of COVID.
Because you have to. And not that you have to, but like it's easy. I know I say it's not that easy, but at the end of the day, if you take away all the noise in your head, anyone can do it. It's easy. We're our own worst enemy. We stop ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I stopped myself for a long time. And Yvonne, you know Yvonne as well.
Yvonne McInnes.
Yes.
Yeah. She's been on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we did a little mini interview at the makeup
Yvonne's
show.
Yvonne's like my mentor. Yeah.
We love Yvonne.
So Yvonne, she worked at Makeup Forever too. And we went to Paris and we roomed together. We had never met each other before. But I had always looked at her as like a big sister because she was very generous with so much information.
Yeah.
She had so much background too. And I remember telling her how I was scared to make content on social media because I'm worried about what people are going to think and that pros won't hire me or they're not going to take me seriously because I'm posting selfies. Well, anyone who's followed Yvonne for years knows that Yvonne always does makeup on herself. She always posts that. And she said that she's like, fuck them. She's like, listen, she's like, you got to practice and you can't always hire model, so why not use your own face? Use your leg, use your body, practice and showcase yourself. It's still your art and you're still going to have other people. She's like, don't think about what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Think about what you need to do for you and your business and what's best. And I still, she must have told me this like probably 2016 now. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that anytime I look at my social media and I'm like, this is all me. Like, that's all me. And it's a lot of the same looks over and over again. And like, I don't have any, like, I'll start thinking about that. I'm like, no, Yvonne will say, you got to showcase yourself. Just put yourself out there. It's fine. You got to create content. So Yvonne, I love you. That's all.
I love you. We love you too, Yvonne. We love Yvonne. Like, you got to get yourself like a little like echo in the back of your head.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
It helps. Just, you know. Shut up the noise a little bit.
But that's why I'm also like involved in like networking groups. You've heard me. We've had Angelique Velez on the podcast and I'm in her networking group and she has her own podcast. Like she is very much one of those people like I can always hear Angelique being like, Rachel.
I heard that in her
podcast. Yeah, like being like, Like, Rachel, you are amazing. Like, literally just, like, hearing her and just – I'm like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm doing the right thing. It just – you know, sometimes it's hard to remember – it's hard to remember those things. And, like, that's why mentorship, I feel like, is so valuable.
It is.
It's so hard, too, because, like, I feel like sometimes people, like, look at it as a cash grab also. They're like – you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like –
well, the same thing even with classes. Like, think of how many people go to makeup school and they don't get the education that they expect. Or even what school did you go to? Maybe you don't want to say that, but
they who shall not be named, if you know, you know.
Biddies, just as a reminder, Donna's course, Spook and Sparkle, to learn all about Halloween makeup for professional makeup artists, is available for enrollment from now until October 14th. You can sign up for her course at donnadalia.com/spookandsparklebiddies, which is also in the show notes of this episode. If you'd like to up-level your pro makeup artistry by including Halloween services this season, she's going to teach you all about makeup looks, booking high-paying clients, and making scary money. She's also going to teach you about marketing yourself on social media. You have access to her Facebook group as well as Zoom study hall sessions. It is a great value for what she is offering, and she is an incredible instructor with years of experience, and she is an amazing artist. So make sure to check it out in the show notes and sign up and join me in this course.
Yeah. We'll talk about it after. We just had a little aside. If you know, you know.
Let's pretend we didn't say anything. And you said, and you raised your hand when I said makeup schools don't even give you what you expect. And you raised your hand. But yes, that is a thing. There is a lot of, even if you think of cosmetology schools, a lot of people go to cosmetology school thinking that they're going to learn makeup and it's a week. You're learning hair. And people don't realize that. I have students in one of my courses, even though my courses are for, the first one was for consumers, they came from cosmetology school, and because I had so many models and I talked about so much stuff, it should have been a pro program. I think we might actually refilm it and make it a beginner's pro program because there's just so much information that if you're a consumer, you don't need to know that level. It can be overwhelming, and you know, it was my first course, so I learned a lot. But I had a lot of cosmetology students come in, and that's when I learned how much there wasn't in cosmetology school. And then I think there are a lot of makeup schools that offer, you know, 1 to 2 week seminars or even a month-long seminar. And there's a ton in LA, but they're teaching influencer makeup. And when I say influencer makeup, I just mean that it focuses a lot on cut creases, glitter lips, high glow.
I honestly could use that. Like, I don't know how to do a cut crease to save my life.
I don't believe you.
I can't do a cut crease. Hell no. Oh, after this?
But there are... I think you have to also understand, like, people have to understand what type of pro they want to be, because there is an audience where you are going to have clients that do want cut creases and glitter lips and things like that, but not that's not going to be most of your work. Yeah.
It's being phased out a lot too right now.
It is, because everyone doesn't care about eye makeup anymore. They want skin. They want glowing skin. And I taught at a school in LA that will remain nameless, and I would argue with the director because she had us do a. I don't remember if it was a bridal course or what it was, but there was so much missing information. Like, there was no contouring. And she was like, well, this isn't the digital influencer class. Like, this is, you know, basic beauty. And I'm like, but contouring is not new. Like, contouring
is part of...
That's just sculpting the face. Right. That's enhancing bone structure. I'm not talking about going in with, like, heavy creams and layering it like a Kardashian. I'm just talking about subtle complementary to, you know, subtleness to their skin. And there was none of that being taught. And I'm like, but that's what people are going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get commercial work or you're even on set for a movie, and, you know, you turn on any TV show you like. You know, the women who are wearing makeup, their makeup is pretty natural.
Yeah.
But there's still definition. And I don't mean contouring with, like, contour and bronzer. They can be contouring with blush.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And I don't think there's enough of that being taught in school, so people aren't learning the fundamental understanding. So when they actually get started, they're not confident enough.
Right.
And that is why I wanted to start a school originally. Mm-hmm. Like, I was spoiled at Makeup Forever. Dani Sands was a great educator for her whatever she did with her education system, that I had trainers like Yvonne and Lijah and Nick and Jesse Powers, like... I had such excellent development, and I never went to makeup school. I graduated college. I was working at MAC while I was in college, and then I became a manager at MAC, and then I went to Makeup Forever. And I always say that I went to school at Makeup Forever because even though I was hired as a trainer, I learned so much, and they put us through the Makeup Forever way of doing things so we can teach the employees. And so when I started teaching at schools in LA and they were missing things, I was like, this is not right. I have to do something for everybody. I have to make the baby makeup artists have everything they need. They need strong kits. They need strong things. They need to know the techniques. They need to know how to do makeup on all skin types. Like, we can't just talk about it. We have to demo it. Right. Like, it blew my mind why they didn't demo these things. Because Makeup Forever did demo it. Like, if you go to a Makeup Forever Academy, they bring in the models that they need to show the technique that they're teaching. And I want to be able to do that. I want to really set people up that when they graduate or when they finish the course, they will be able to get work that week. Or the next week. Or they're getting work while we're in the course, because especially now with social media and all of the studying that I've done with digital marketing, I want to bring that to my courses as well. So we have a Halloween course, which at this time it'll be out. And part of a chunk of it is social media and advertising yourself and how you're going to market it.
Yeah.
So you can make money and get it fast. and do it the whole way, like showcase your whole journey, because people like journeys.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all about community, and that's like how you're gonna find your jobs, and like you have to invest in things like courses, and like you just got to figure out like the right people to connect with. So don't just jump into like the very first person you see, like vet, you know, like look at the credentials, like vet them, you know, if there's anyone who's taken the course, like ask them their experience.
Totally.
If there's aftercare, like you have your Facebook group that's like aftercare for, you know, people. You can connect with people, and that's like really valuable too. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, even just now with us, but this is networking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is networking. It's all mentioning, we're kind of like running, we're like, it always goes so fast. We're like kind of like coming up on our time, but we didn't even get to touch on Halloween. And this is obviously the Halloween episode.
Queen Mary. We talked about
it. Yes. I just was curious. So, like, what do you got going on this Halloween season? Are you doing another haunt?
So, last year, I did a haunt in Orange County called Hauntington Beach Manor. And it was great. It was a very small haunt. There was one maze. Production value was great. The guy who owns it, who runs it, he's been doing it for the past 8 years. And he used to run them as charities. And all the money, he would get donations at the door and all the money he would give to certain charities. Last year was the first one that he did not for charity, and he paid everybody. And it was great. Everyone that went through was really creepy. That was like, it was just disgusting. It was grimy. He really valued makeup. And so we were able to hire a team and deliver the makeup quality that gets people excited.
Yeah.
A lot of realism, not so much realism, it's definitely haunt because of the high contrast. So I'm going to be working with him again this year.
Cool.
It's going to be, Hauntington Beach Manor, it'll be in Westminster. I believe it's at Westminster Mall. And by the time this airs, I'll have all the information. I believe it's going to be Friday and Saturday. So I'm going to do that with him. I don't know if I'll do anything else outside of that because it will take up Friday and Saturday. But I'm also going to be launching a Halloween course, which at this time the course will already be out. And that's going to be my primary focus. I originally wasn't going to work Halloween at all. I was like, I've been wanting to do a Halloween course for the past 2 years. I'm going to finally do it. I'm not going to work any Halloween events. I'm going to enjoy Halloween. I haven't had Halloween off.
For people like us, that's like awful. Remember. It's like working Christmas.
Yeah, because when I worked in New York, we were blacked out. We couldn't take off. And then I would work all day, get off at 5 o'clock, do some clients so I can make extra money. And then at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, I'd go out, which is fine in New York. And then in here, I thought 2020, I would have Halloween off.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Well,
that was me too.
I was like, I'm going to be off. It's cool. But no, I got a great opportunity. The same people, production company who put on Dark Harbor, they hired us to do an event with AMC and Shudder. And it was at a drive-in theater. And it was only for the weekend, but I actually they were doing it in New York, Jersey, Dallas, and LA.
Yeah.
So I hired teams in each city, and we sent them all the kits, we created the look. So it was a whole month operation to get everything all up and running. But the event itself was only like the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
But I worked it, and I didn't have Halloween off. And then last year I worked, and this year when he called me, he was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Do you want to come back? And I'm like, yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it is
like,
fun.
It's because I know that when I leave, I'm fired
happy,
up.
Tired.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just a good time.
Are you in charge of like hiring the teams?
Yes.
So I guess
before we kind of like start wrapping up the episode, if there's anybody listening that wants to join a haunt, by the way, if you didn't know, I actually worked a Halloween haunt as well. If someone wants to do a haunt or is interested in special effects makeup, do you have any recommendations for like how they would go about it? I mean, at this point, the ship has sailed, but for maybe like 2023, right, where they should be looking and what kind of skill set and things like that that you look for?
So haunt and special effects is quite different.
Yeah.
Only because in haunt, it's fast makeup. There is not as much like prosthetic application unless you're working like Halloween Horror Nights. And if you're working Halloween Horror Nights, they have a separate department that does the prosthetics, and then other people do painting. It's very assembly line. Other haunts, not so much the case. Like the haunts that we've done, we've had some prosthetics, but it's mainly build up with like third degree and things like that because mm-hmm. you don't have the time to glue it on and you don't have the manpower to remove everything at the end of the night. Removals is the most important. So for special effects, I would honestly say if people are into it, to take some kind of class so they can learn the proper sanitation and hygiene for it. Like all the TikTokers who rip latex off their face,
Rigid Collodion is another one.
Oh my God. Yeah, that scars people's face. Like Rigid Collodion is even worse than latex.
I have to send you a video.
Oh my God. Please do. I literally get angry every time I see someone use latex as a mask and peel it off. And then they're like, my face is so red. No shit, Sherlock. Like you are not supposed to peel latex off your face.
PSA. No liquid latex, no Rigid Collodion directly on your face, guys. Yeah. Please.
Well, you can put it directly on, but you have to make sure that there is some kind of barrier.
Right.
And you're removing it without ripping. Because the ripping, like Rigid Collodion, it sticks so bad that if you peel it off, you can literally leave a scar on your face.
Yep.
It's okay. So special effects, learn proper sanitation, proper removals. Removals are so important. You don't want to give anyone a chemical burn. For haunt makeup, it starts early. People think that haunt stuff starts in August. Everything is hired by like May. Everyone knows where stuff are. Last minute hires do happen. In August, but by the end of August, usually the entire teams are built because they're already in production. Uh-huh. But promotions start in May usually for haunts. And that you want to have your promotional material being filmed then so it's ready to go out in the summer and then you're ready to go. So if you want to work a haunt, every state probably has some kind of haunts. You might not always get paid because some of them are going to be do-it-yourself, like homegrown ones. And the key thing, airbrushing is probably the best bet for you because it's the quickest. It's also the most sanitary. You don't have to worry about running out of brushes. So if you're interested in being a haunt makeup artist or working a haunt or even doing Halloween stuff in general, having the airbrush, knowing airbrush is going to elevate your skill set. It'll also elevate your wallet because you can charge more. Mm-hmm. And then for haunts, it's quicker and it's long lasting. So like if you're using alcohol paint, those monsters are going to be set. Nothing's going to come off even if they're sweating. And if they are sweating, you can touch up really easily. And then at the end of the night, you can have removal set up for them. But your department head will worry about the removals and everything. But for you, I would say if you're listening right now and you want to be a haunt makeup artist or work at a haunt, find your local haunt, find the makeup people that did it, follow them everywhere, and just start talking to them. Just like literally friend request them. I led a haunt in Florida in 2019. Mm-hmm. And my department head for Queen Mary was the department head for both. And he hired me to be the key down there. So we went down in August to hire people and we searched for people online. We looked on Instagram and people reached out to us and then we reached out to their friends and whatnot. And we just started the conversations. And even now I have people that are messaging me from people that were on my team in Florida that are following me now. And they're like, we just want to learn airbrush stuff. And that's what actually made me even more so want to do a Halloween course because so many people asked for airbrush classes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say the advice is just talk. Don't be afraid. If people don't write you back, DM them again. Don't stop. Don't give up.
Or just DM Donna.
DM me and I'll tell you where to go.
Not to solicit Donna.
No, but Sarah, like it's just I.
Or DM me because I wasn't responsible for hiring, but I can say that I did not know how to do any airbrush zombies before that, but I had airbrushed beauty makeup and that was enough for me to like practice at home with mm-hmm. special effects like colors. And, you know, I printed them out and made like a little like portfolio and they kind of like, I kind of learned a lot on the job, to be honest.
Yeah,
and I know that every place is different, but like this was very much like there was people that were even less experienced than me that had never even touched an airbrush gun who were literally learning how to airbrush on the job. So don't let not knowing how to airbrush like intimidate you if you want to do a haunt, like still go for it.
100%.
Because they'll have the airbrush machines.
They do. In Florida, we hired people that were face painters. And one of them, it was her first makeup job. And she is a stellar body painter. I'll send you her TikTok.
Okay.
She's got like a million followers. Her name is FX Freak. And we hired off of Instagram. She had never held an airbrush gun before. During our orientation, I was like, well, you're going to start. I was like, you can body paint like that. I know you're going to be fine. So we gave her an airbrush. There was another girl named Ashley, also on the team. She's like, I airbrushed once or twice. I was like, well, you're getting an airbrush. You're going to do it. And they were fantastic. Like, yeah. This is why I like teaching, because just seeing how they have evolved. There was another girl named Gabby that, like, she was so scared of doing skulls on people. And by the end of the night, I remember our last day, she was doing this. We had a Day of the Dead theme, and she was doing the thing. She was doing the skull. She's like, how does it look? And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, you said you didn't know what you were doing. And I went back to do my makeup, and I just started crying because I was like, Aww. They've all come so far. Yeah. So even if you think you can't do it, you can. You can do anything that you want. You just have to believe yourself even when you don't want to. And just write it on the wall. Write it on a dry erase board. Put it on a post-it. Say, and just repeat it every day. And especially repeat it when you're telling yourself you can't do it. Because then that'll switch the neuron process in your brain where you eventually will start to believe it. It just, even if it takes some time.
There's always something to be said about healthy delusion.
Yes, that
is literally,
I like healthy delusion.
I'm telling you, like, this shit, like, a year ago could, like, the time of recording this, Biddies, is a couple days before the Los Angeles Lipstick Biddies meetup. Never did I ever even imagine that I would be going to a different state and selling the exact same amount of tickets that I did in Atlanta, where I actually know people.
That's so
and
awesome.
Like, but it was like delusional. Like, when I like even like did it, I was like, you know what? I don't even know who's going to buy tickets, but like, fuck it. We're going to do an LA meetup. Fuck it. We're just going to do if it's just me and my two friends getting drunk at this bar, I don't care. We'll see who comes. And then I even have a sponsor now.
That's awesome.
Have a sponsor.
Who's the sponsor?
Bags for Makeup.
Oh, cool.
They're based out of here, like cute little on-set brush caddies.
Oh, perfect.
So everybody that comes to
Do they cover too?
Yeah. So yes. It's kind of like the Schmeich
Schrom. Love that.
Yeah. It's like very similar to that. And so anybody who comes to the LA meetup gets one of those set bags.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they reached out to me.
Amazing.
So like, but it, again, like I'm like, what?
Listen, when you put yourself out there, things will come to you.
So I'm telling you, Biddies, if you have a place for me to stay in your city and you're in a major city, please come put me up. I've had one of my patrons do it before. Shout out to Brandon in Chicago. He put me up in Chicago. People are putting me up here. If you want me to come to your city and you have space for me, I will come and I will host a meetup. I just need a place to stay. I have the miles, though. But anyways.
This is awesome.
We are running up on time, though. Like, we could talk so much.
Okay, sorry.
We could talk so much. Like, I'm sure I would love to have you back again at some point. But I always, before we kind of, like, wrap things up, I wanted to ask you a quick would you rather question, which is one of my favorite games. I love to play with my guests. And so I was thinking, like, on a Halloween theme, okay, would you rather do an airbrush zombie or, like, hand-painted zombie? Assuming timing's not an issue, just, like, out of, like, pure aesthetics and, like, enjoyment for you.
Honestly, I might say hand paint, only because there's a certain texture that you can do with hand paint. I would want to do both. I usually like –
You got to choose one.
That's why I say hand paint, because you can create a lot of texture with hand paint. Yeah. Airbrush looks very flawless. Well, you can create texture, but it's harder to create texture because you're just using paint, airbrush paint.
Right,
there's not
right,
different
right.
mediums, whereas hand painting, you can use creams, you can use gels, alcohol paint, sponges, and all these different types of things, and you can use prosthetics. If you're airbrushing – I think you would be missing something without the hand painting part.
Yeah.
So hand paint.
Good to know. So Donna, thank you so much again for being here, opening up your home to me, feeding me, getting me a little wine buzz, and providing some really nice lighting for this video that some people will see. So before we sign off, is there anything that you would like to wrap up with, any parting words of advice that you'd like to give the Biddies? And then also, if you could let us know anything you'd like to plug, where to follow you, connect with you on social media.
I'm on all social media with Donna D'Elia. I think Instagram and TikTok, it's donna.d'elia. So that I'm pretty much all across. Advice, I know I gave a lot of big things, but I do think It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still become a pro makeup artist. That's been a question I've gotten a lot recently is, am I too old to do it? And I know people that are in their 50s that have switched careers. And you also don't need to give up your full-time job to become a makeup artist either. You can work on the weekends. You can work for brands. You can do weddings. Weddings will make you bank on the weekend. You'll be able to do weddings on the weekend and live off of that income. That anything is possible. You just have to keep telling yourself that it is. I don't know. I feel like
– I love it.
Just believe in yourself.
Yes.
Sparkle on.
Love that. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head bitty in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Bitties. Remember, you are a badass fucking bitty. See you next week.